Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Everybody, Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings, and I'm going to try to talk quiet, Glenn, because I currently have two sleeping puppies right next to me. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 24th, 2011, episode 61, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
This will wake them up.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Well, if anybody wasn't sure what day of the week it is, they should know now.
Absolutely. What a collection of bad songs.
Hey!
I'm known for my bad song collections, that's for sure.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn. How was your weekend?
Good. How are the poopy puppies?
Man, you know what? Right now, it's like the whole last hour as I was preparing for this, they were barking and running and chewing on the curtains and, you know, peeing on the floor. I have two spots right now on the floor that I've just, you know, for now put paper towels on top of. But you know what? They're sleeping right now. So that is like the biggest blessing in this house at this point is, you know, we're 1 week today with the puppies and we cherish sleeping time. We really do.
So you have to get up 2-3 times a night or what?
You know what? It's been great. The last couple days, Chad, obviously with the weekend, hasn't been flying. And if he's not flying, we kind of have a rule that he has to get up and let the puppies out at midnight. But if he is flying, then I have to do it. Even though I have to get up really early, West Coast time, to do a radio show, apparently it's not as important as flying a $30 million jet and his takes precedence, whatever.
Yeah, kind of that whole crashing thing. You know, you crash, it doesn't really hurt anything. But, you know, he crashes, it kind of hurts a little. So I can understand
that. Yeah. So that's
besides,
kind of the way it's been.
It's only right that, as a horse husband not to have to get... Oh, wait a minute. The dogs were his idea, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Thank you very much. But you know what? I did tell him before we got the puppies, I said, I am not going to be the one to let them out at night. I'm not going to clean up after them. I'm not going to feed them. You are going to have to help. And he did de-poop the yard this weekend. So.
Oh, and that's always a pleasant job, too. I don't miss de-pooping the yard. I don't miss that at all.
No, we have the little, you know, jaws of life that you squeeze them and they pick up everything. It's almost like the game where you try to win the stuffed animal. It's kind of like that. The hand goes down and grabs the poop and then you have to, you know, make sure you don't get rocks and dirt. Good Monday conversation, Glenn. Poop picking up.
First thing in the morning while you're eating breakfast. Well, this weekend, Saturday, we were watching the barn where we board because they were away. So we were helping out on Saturday and it was one degree when we got up on Saturday morning, which isn't nearly as cold as the people in the Northeast are having. A friend of mine posted on Facebook a picture of his thermometer this morning at a minus 11, so in Massachusetts.
Oh.
But so we get up at 1 degree, it's still pretty cold. I saw somebody posted on Robert Dunn's page or on Facebook, and Robert Dunn's comment about it being like minus 20 or something. And they, you know, somebody posted, well, after you get under about minus 10, it all feels the same. And, you know, it can only feel so cold, I think, at some point, and then it just, you know, it just feels the same. I think they're probably right. So anyway, we're out there, and she has a whole bunch of turnout borders and with the big water troughs. And I come around the corner. I was cleaning stalls, and I come around the corner and look outside. Jennifer has a pitchfork digging the ice out of the big water trough. And it's the first time I'd ever seen anybody mucking ice. It was the first time. That was the first one.
you have to do that, Jen. Good for you. You got to, and you got to like stab it and then grab it.
Stab and grab it. Yeah, you use the pickaxe to break it up, and then you and then you. Then
they
you
literally have a 15-pound pickaxe, and that's the only way you can get through the ice. So thick.
Oh my gosh!
I wish I'd taken a picture. It was just kind of funny standing there with the pitchfork trying to get the ice out of the water.
Just to clarify, there is a special blue pitchfork just for mucking out the water troughs.
Oh my gosh.
Which I didn't know and was using for the stalls earlier, which I didn't tell Jennifer, but nobody told me the blue pitchfork rule.
I don't understand. So, Glenn, you were in there, like, dinking around, picking out the stalls, and Jennifer's the one going outside and
picking
the ice
out? Oh, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. They had been in for a couple – they had been in a lot. So there wasn't any picking out the stalls. This was some serious mucking and muck tub hauling. So,
okay, just making sure you weren't slacking.
Not slacking. Was I slacking?
You were not slacking. You were working very hard.
Thank you.
You even picked the ice balls out of Baker's hooves.
Yeah, I brought Baker in and picked the ice balls out, which are about as big as the ones in the muck tub. And there is something about, I find cleaning stalls in the wintertime like that. Here we go. This is more breakfast talk. I find cleaning, only horse people can do this on a morning show. when the poos are frozen, they're so much easier to clean. And I love the sound they make when they're like marbles when they go into the muck tub. So I just think, Well, it's a horse husband thing. We got to get some satisfaction and some enjoyment out of cleaning stalls, right?
I never knew you liked the sound of frozen horse balls.
Hey, we didn't have a horse ball fight this weekend. Usually when they're frozen like that, when we had our barn, it would amount, when the kids were there, it would amount into this huge horse ball battle.
Really? See, what we did when I worked at the Kentucky Horse Park was we had horse poo baseball. And somebody with gloves on would take it and pitch it, and you would use your miracle fork as a baseball bat and try to hit it over the pitcher's head.
I've never played that.
Frozen horse poop baseball, you got to do it. If you think marbles sound good going in, if you think poo sounds good going into the muck tub, wait till you connect with it, Glenn, and you send one flying. It is very satisfying.
And I imagine, so like the regular size horses are regular baseball and the draft horses are softball?
Yeah, they're kind of softballs. And then, you know, the ponies, it's more like pitching a golf ball. So it just happens that way.
I see a new exhibition at Equine Affair next year.
Yeah, frozen horse poop baseball.
Yeah, but they have to do it outside, because if they do it inside where it's warm, it won't work so well.
It won't be as funny. It won't be as funny.
Yeah. No, it might be funnier, actually.
Just don't get hit in the face with it. Make sure you have your protective hands up. That would stink.
We better go to Jennifer. This is going downhill, and it's Monday morning.
I know, right? Go ahead, Jennifer.
Oh, see, I have to rescue the conversation from the pits. All right, here we go. All you hunter and jumper gals out there, pay attention, because on today's show we'll be talking with Sarah Griot, and I'm sorry, Sarah, if I've butchered your name, about her gorgeous new line of show clothing. You'll get some up-to-date and ahead-of-the-curve information on what's going to be hot in the show ring this year from Sarah. And then Dan Stewart will be stopping by to talk about Nervous Nelly Riders. how'd you get to be one, and what to do about it. And we look forward to your calls. And, of course, betwixt and between, Jamie and Glenn will regale us with hilarious horse headlines and funny stories. Continue.
And poop.
And poop.
So we want to encourage people. Dan's going to be on. Of course, he comes on with our segment called Going Psycho, and he is our resident sports psychologist that comes on with us once a month. He's going to be coming on about 9:50 this morning. So if you have a question for him dealing with sports psychology or riding psychology or fear, that's going to be our main topic with him today. We would love for you to call. He can talk about anything to do with the mental side of riding, and he would love to take calls. So we weren't able to do that last time with him, but he's available to do that today. So give us a call around 9:50, 10 o'clock, and we would love for you to get a chance to chat with him. He is absolutely one of the coolest guys to talk to, and I know, Jamie, you really enjoyed the last segment we had with him.
I really did. I mean, it was incredibly educational, and just to learn about how he does his clinics, if he ever came anywhere close to the West Coast, I would have to go. And my best friend Colleen in Atlanta, she rode with him down at the Oaks in Florida and said it was the best clinic she has ever been to. And she's a preliminary event rider. And he had her completely confused, and she said that the jump course was cross rails and 2-foot jumps, and she couldn't do it. So it's phenomenally difficult riding with him, but incredibly educational. So
well,
I love having Daniel on. And
what he does is he takes you and he stresses you to the point where you're just non-functional during the clinic, and he brings you back. And what he's trying to show you is during a show, those things happen. You get to the point where you're just pretty much non-functional, and then he brings you back. And it's, you know, apparently Helena, co-host for Stable Scoop, said she saw one of his clinics and it was just absolutely fascinating. So, I'm looking at his schedule for the year and he has a bunch of dates booked, but I don't see anything you write. There's not much on the West Coast. He's in Oklahoma City. So he's in Alaska for a period of time, if you want to go up there for a clinic.
Yeah, that doesn't sound cold at all. Let's go to Alaska.
It's in June,
it'll
be fine.
Okay, that's a little bit better. That's better. I was going to ask you, Glenn, is this kind of cold weather, living in Lexington, I don't remember, it ever really being 1 degree. That's just stupid. Is this normal?
Well,
or is there
I don't think it's normal. From what we've been hearing, it's pretty cold this year in Lexington. We've only been here, this is now our third year. So we've been hearing that before we came, it was fairly, they would have somewhat mild winters. But this year it's been cold everywhere. I mean, southeast. My brother woke up in Ocala yesterday, and it was in the 20s. So, it's just cold. Now they're expecting another big storm on the East Coast. That in the south is going to be rain, and the northeast could see another 1 to 2 feet of snow again. Right in Philadelphia, the time we're looking at going up there this weekend, which we'll chat about a little bit later. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot going on in the horse world, and we should talk a little bit about it. One of the big announcements we should give a little Horses in the Morning clap for is the helmet rules at the USEF meeting this weekend were passed. So what that means is that there's a rule change. They don't have a date it's going to go into effect yet, but it will require strapped certified helmets to be worn at all times when mounted in USEF divisions at all kinds of events. And they're not sure about the date change, but that'll be coming in more details will be coming out here shortly. So what that basically means, if you're going to a USEF-sanctioned horse show, you will have to be wearing a helmet any time you are mounted with the chin strap strapped.
Wow. That's awesome, but it just sounds to me like that should have been – how has it not been going on this whole time, I can't remember ever riding at a competition without wearing a helmet. I don't know what kind of competitions or what kind of people didn't, but, man – of course you have to wear your helmet. You're on
the horse. We have to give a shout-out to Lindsay over there at ridersforhelmets.com because it was because of her, that this got the attention it did after Courtney King Dye's fall. And, because of her efforts with that group, that she, you know, she really has put the pressure on and caused this to be in the public consciousness that they couldn't avoid it anymore. And even to the point where Eventing Nation's reporting our friends at the in the pure dressage world also passed the helmet rule at the USEF board meeting on Sunday. All dressage riders are to wear ASTM certified and strapped helmets when mounted. Riders, but this is where the catch is, because the FEI does not require it. Riders in FEI level tests may switch to their top hats, but only for their test. For everyone else, helmets to be worn all the time. So I will hear more about that coming up, but I just have to give, you know, a shout out and a thank you to Lindsay for all her hard work over at ridersforhelmets.com. She did a great job of bringing this to the forefront and really, really bringing it onto the agenda at the USEF this weekend. So that was a good work by Lindsay.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can understand the whole FEI thing and not wanting to wear your, you know, these people are so accomplished. I mean, accidents happen, but, you know, wearing their top hat for a test, I can go with that. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. I think the FEI, it's on the FEI's radar now, too. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens with the FEI and all of that as well. And, of course, one of the things that happens at the USEF meeting every year is they announce the Rider and Horse of the Year. And this year, raining rained this year at the USEF award ceremony. And that is because Tom McCutcheon, who we had on our show soon after we started the Horses in the Morning show, we had him on 11-9 on November the 9th. He was on with us. He won Rider of the Year. And he, of course, won 2 gold medals at the World Equestrian Games in Reining. And appropriately enough, his horse was named Horse of the Year. And, of course, his horse is Gunner Special Knight. He's a 6-year-old American quarter horse brought to the sport of Reining to the forefront in the American equestrian community. And we talked to him about Gunner Special Knight that day, if you remember right. And he was Gunner Special Knight was also a multiple gold medal winner at the World Equestrian Games. I think that Tom is a super nice guy. I'm thrilled that the sport of reining won this year. It deserved it. They won more for the United States than anybody else at the World Equestrian Games, and I'm just thrilled that they were recognized.
Absolutely. Congratulations to them, and having him on. He was such a sweetheart, so good for them. That's awesome. What did they win, by the way?
I think they win a trophy.
I think
they win a trophy.
you get a big old fat pat on the back, buddy. Way to go.
Yeah, and bragging rights. You know, bragging rights for, I think, I'm trying to remember if Gunner Special Knight was a stallion or not.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that just raises his price, what that did. That just raises his price. Yeah. So that's, and then what else we have to talk about here? Cecilia's first foal was on the ground over the weekend. And
yeah,
how about that?
Well, they're all cute. It's just absolutely cute. So there's a picture of it. Now, this begs the question, first of all, how many Totilus foals are there going to be, do you think? How many mares did he breed?
I don't know how many, but I'm sure it'll be as many as they can. They have to pay that bill. They have to pay for buying this horse.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, I read that his stud fee right now is, like, I think, what I tell you, 5,500 euros. But, you know, what I'm excited about is I read that Debbie McDonald's horse, Brentina, from the Olympics is being bred to Totilus. Now, I'm not sure if she's conceived yet or not. I think they were having some trouble getting her artificially inseminated. But, oh, my gosh, what a dressage baby that would be. Hello, Brentina and Totilus together. It's just like that thing should come out of the womb floating. Light on his feet.
Yes, definitely. I think so. And or wouldn't it be funny if it came out and turned out to be a great event horse? That would do it.
Oh my gosh, they would hate it. They'd go crazy. It's like, oh man, it's a great jumper. It hates dressage though. Like all event horses. It's kind of like if Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt had an ugly baby. That would be what that would be like. It's impossible, but if it happened, it would be a huge disappointment.
Speaking of adorable things, seeing you feed a giraffe, by the way, they have very large tongues.
Oh, my gosh. I have been dying to do this forever. There is a zoo 3 miles from my house that lets you feed giraffes. Now, I know this is totally random, but I love, 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 love giraffes. And I think that, you know, having them so close by, I really wanted to go and do it and feed them. But you know what? Nobody will go with me. Chad wouldn't go with me. nobody would go. So my friend Donna's in town from Atlanta, and I said, hey, do you want to go feed giraffes? She's like, do I? Because, of course, she's a horse person, and we love animals. So we made the trek down to the World Wildlife Zoo here in Phoenix and fed the giraffes, and we posted some pictures of it on Facebook. But, oh, my gosh, they are so fun, and their tongues are like 6 feet long, and they're purple sandpapery. It was awesome. It was such a good time. And this is what only a horse person would do, Glenn. And tell me if I'm wrong here, but you know, there's all sorts of people out there that are trying to feed the giraffes, and there's, you know, people with their little kids that are screaming and throwing food in the giraffes' faces. And one of the kids was like, I don't want to feed a mommy, he might bite me. And I turned to the little kid and I said, oh, don't worry, they don't have any top teeth in the front, so they can't bite you. Well, Donna turns to me and she goes, how did you know that? And I said, because I just put my hand in his mouth and I felt around to see where his teeth was. And, yeah, they don't have any top teeth. They do have some bottom teeth in the front, but no top teeth. And, you know, there's no molars in the front half of the giraffe's mouth. She's like, why did you stick your hand in the giraffe's mouth? I was like, well, I wanted to see what kind of teeth they had.
That sounds like something Jennifer would do, too. That's a horse girl thing, I think.
It totally is. It totally is. But she, my friend Donna is a horse girl, but she still thought that was gross. But I could totally see Jennifer and I, like, inspecting the giraffe's mouth. Like,
it'd be,
huh,
it'd be cool
in
the lips
back.
Like. On.
That would just be cool.
Hey, and
just wrap your tongue and pull it to the side and check it all out.
And Jamie, what's with the Klingon giraffe in the one picture?
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
that's
well.
By the way, we posted these pictures on Facebook. You can see them there on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning.
Well, I have to let you know that this zoo, bless their hearts, have been around since, like, 1975, and they started as a rebreeding program for a lot of the endangered species. Well, they opened to the public in, like, 1985, and they have a lot. I really think that a lot of the animals that are there now are the ones that they got in 1975 when laws weren't as strict as they were about importing animals. So there, like, we were walking along and we saw this lion, and it was laying on the, and you know, I'm immediately like, oh my God, we need to get the vet. We need to call animal services. That lion is emaciated. It was skinny. Its hip bones were sticking out. And then there's a sign posted underneath it that says, please don't worry about our lions, ladies and gentlemen. They are no longer in the prime of their life, and we're making their final elderly years as comfortable as possible. So basically, got a bunch of old lions and old animals there. I mean, there were some old senior citizens at this place, and I do believe that the Klingon giraffe that you're talking about might have been 150. I mean, the sucker was like arthritic. Yeah, bless his little heart. So we gave him a lot of extra food because he was kind of skinny. But a lot of the older animals living at the World Wildlife Zoo, but at least they're getting taken care of in their senior years, you know.
You know, I'm getting up there, too. That giraffe and I have about the same amount of gray hair, I think. is that where Jennifer's going to retire me, you think, at the wildlife zoo 3 miles from Jamie's house? That way
Glenn,
you guys can go play horsey?
If that were to happen, I would totally throw pellets at you. I mean, I would do that. Don't you worry.
Hey, Robert Dunn's listening this morning. Shout out to Robert. He says on Facebook, the Fola Bertina and Tetelis would not be an eventer.
Oh, he's
Dr. Dressage Rider's all riled up over that one.
He's offended.
What'd be even funnier is if he came out, you know, let's see, what would be worse than a venter?
Oh,
it's got to be something.
Oh,
a rainer.
My God. Well, that would never happen, but Obi, if he just made the cutest little hunter.
Now we've offended the hunters this morning, too. Good. Take them all on today.
Well, let's see. As an eventer, I was not offended by your eventing comment. And, you know, I did hunters forever. And I think that that would just be, you know, funny for dressage people. You guys all have to have a good sense of humor. We all have to have a good sense of humor, especially listening to this show. We are equal opportunity offenders.
Well, that's... That's fun. And we never did mention that the name of the baby, that first baby on the ground, is Moreland's Guinevere. So that's the name of the first baby. And I did post the link there so you can go see the pictures. They're really cute.
Oh,
they're really cute.
I love it.
Well, we have a fun show. We're going to talk here in a minute about Ada and about clothing and things like that, and then we have Daniel coming up. But I wanted to mention, too, while we're on the subject of raining, that we have Sean Florida coming up later in the week, and he's going to be on with us, one of the top rainers in the world. And you think Tom's nice. Sean is super nice. He's a great guy to talk to. And also, there's a new Miss Rodeo that's been crowned. And remember, we had Miss Rodeo on actually the same show that we had Tom McCutcheon on. Well, the new Miss Rodeo has been crowned for 2011, and she's going to be on with us tomorrow sometime. So
oh,
she was
good.
Just crowned.
Well,
yeah, she was just crowned last week. So we're right on it. We got her on the show right away. Because if there's a pretty girl that needs to be on the show, I make sure it happens.
I was going to say, I bet you Jennifer didn't book this interview. I bet it was a little bit of Glenn. Hey, by the way, speaking of beauty queens and pageant queens, I went to see a movie last night. We went to go see the Country Strong, and the little young singer is a pageant queen. That kind of reminded me to tell you. I wonder if anybody out there has seen Country Strong, because I want to know what they thought of it. My opinion is still out. I thought Gwyneth Paltrow was amazing in it. I thought that Tim McGraw, oh, my gosh, he was phenomenal. But it was so weird, and there's something that happens in it that I had no idea. I thought it was this happy, fun comeback story of this awesome singer, you know, kind of showing the young girl the ropes. Yeah, totally not that at all. Not at all. But I'm just curious to see if anybody else liked it. I haven't decided yet.
Well, we went to see The King's Speech, and which has been nominated for a whole bunch of awards, and it should be. It's about King George VI of Britain, and he had a speech impediment, so he gets this guy to help him with his speech impediment, and it was the story of those two. But it really took you inside the monarchy in that day and how it all was. There were two horses in the movie to give the horse report, and they were both pulling carriages, and there weren't any fake whinnies at all, so it gets an A for that. But Colin Firth, who played King George VI, you know, it's got to be hard playing a role to begin with, but then playing a role of a person who has a speech impediment and trying to get that right when you're faking it has got to be extra hard. And he was believable. Let me tell you, this was a very good, funny. It had a lot of humor in it. It had some serious in it, but it was just one of those movies that's critically acclaimed by all the critics, which normally, if it's critically acclaimed, Jennifer and I absolutely hate it. Well, this one was critically acclaimed, and we loved it. It was well worth seeing, and Colin Firth should win an Oscar for it. His portrayal of King George was terrific. It was just terrific. So we liked it.
Okay. So would most horse husbands like it, or just you because you like that kind of period stuff?
I'm saying probably just me because I like history stuff. So that's what I'm saying. I think even male or female, doesn't matter. You're going to have to like a little bit of history stuff to like this movie.
Well, I like Colin Firth, so I'm in.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor and go to our first guest.
All right. Well, our sponsor is Omega Alpha, and I actually have Jet on it, and he is doing great with it. We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Isn't that the truth? Well, Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that's why Omega Alpha only uses very natural formations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. The other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their product. The creator, Dr. Chang, is well-respected in the industry. He's a pioneer for putting in the right ingredients together and making formulations that work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help your horse, so you can see them all. By the way, you can look for stuff for your dog, too. OmegaAlpha.ca. That's OmegaAlpha.ca.
And we're going to see the Omega Alpha gang this weekend at the American Equestrian Trade Association trade show in Philadelphia. Jamie's flying in, and Helena's coming down from Rhode Island, and we're going to have a good old time there this weekend, recording a lot of interviews. We're going to be doing the Horses in the Morning show live from there next Monday morning. We'll be doing it live from Philadelphia, from King of Prussia at the trade show. We're going to be interviewing a lot of the vendors there, finding out what's new and what's coming up in the world of equestrian products for the spring and fall, taking a look at the new trends in clothing and all the different tack and everything that's coming down the pike is there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be coming live from there, hopefully next Monday if all works out right and we don't get snowed out. But one of the people that's going to be there is Sarah and Grio. And Sarah is the founder of O'Shaughnessy Apparel. And I have to talk to her about that because when I was trying to spell it for the show notes this morning, man, that was one I just couldn't get through. We need to shorten that to something simpler. But Sarah is on with us, and we're going to talk about her clothing line and also Ada coming up. And just, you know, a little preview of what's coming later this week. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Hi. Thank you.
It's great to have you on. Now, this name, O'Shaughnessy, I assume that had something to do with family origins, but let me tell you, I had a tough time spelling it. I kept having to look back and look back.
Oh, everybody has a hard time spelling it. And there's no easy way around it, I guess. But it is definitely it's a family name, and that became Shockney when my relatives came over from Ireland to Ellis Island. They shortened it's actually pronounced O'Shaughnessy, and it became Shockney. So it is. I can't figure out how to make it easier on everybody, and I spend a lot of time on the phone spelling it out.
Now, do you actually say O'Shaughnessy then?
No, I say O'Shaughnessy. I've always said O'Shaughnessy, but I went to Ireland a couple of years ago and was looking for our family crest, and was talking to this Irishman and told him that my name was Shockney and my family name was Shockney, and he said, oh, that's O'Shaughnessy. And they said the G-H kind of like a CK. And I say O'Shaughnessy just because I like the sound of that better, but it's probably not exactly correct.
Well, I will say this, it may be hard to spell, but it is a terrific name. It sounds so romantic and so cool when it's attached to an apparel line.
Well, good. If you can think of a way for me to shorten it, I'm open to suggestions.
I think O would be shorter, but then I think
somebody
else took that.
Yeah.
So.
That's taken already.
You might get sued over that one. tell us, is this going to be your first time at the American Equestrian Trade Association show with the line?
It is. It's going to be my first time. I'm really excited, and I hope it doesn't get snowed out. I just heard you say that.
I know.
We're coming from Seattle, so I'm looking for it. It sounds like it's going to be a great show and lots of people, lots of stores and events going on, so... I'm just hoping all my stuff arrives in time and that we get our booth set up and go smoothly.
There were a few booths, I have to tell you, though. Sarah, I don't want to scare you here, but you don't have to go through customs anyway, so that's a good thing. There were a few booths at the last one we went to 6 months ago, that actually had signs up and said booth stuck in customs. And their booth wasn't there.
For the whole time?
No, they managed to get it in, I think, the next day, like the second day. They drove down to the port and actually started knocking on doors at the port to get it out of customs. It was quite a story they told about how they had to get their booth out of customs. But, you know, we should explain to our listeners, this show is meant for retailers, buyers, to actually come and see what's coming out, and they do their buying then for the spring and summer at this particular one. It's mostly English, but it's some supplements, some bottled goods, some Western at this show. It's one of the biggest English trade shows in the United States. It's been going on pretty much since Jennifer and I had our tack shop back in the mid-90s. And one of the highlights there, of course, is clothing, and that's where O'Shaughnessy Apparel comes in. See, it flows off the tongue. So tell us a little bit about how you got it. Were you a jumper rider? Is that what I understand, or not?
No, I was. Growing up, I've ridden since I was about 9 years old, and I was a hunter rider. But and still ride. I still have a horse, but now I do mostly fox hunting. But really, what got me into I was a designer in Los Angeles years ago. I designed dresses and went away from that when I had kids and started raising my family, moved up to the Northwest, and then started thinking about this again when my daughter, who's my youngest child, started competing. And she started when she was young, 7, and I was replacing clothing constantly as she was growing. And I just one day just thought, you know, I can do this a little bit better and a little bit differently. The coats, everything was nice that I was buying, but it was just very, uniform. And I thought, you know, there are pretty stringent parameters when you're showing horses, and they have to look somewhat the same. All the riders have to look somewhat the same, and especially as my daughter has grown and she's now doing equitation and medals, and they, you know, it's dark coats and light shirts, and but there's things that I thought could be added, such as, you know, different linings, colorful linings, little details like, you know, antique looking pewter buttons, bronze buttons with equestrian motifs, contrast piping inside the coats, and it just the overall look of the coat is still within the structures that they require for the sport.
So Sarah, what you're really trying to say, and we'll say it for you, is you're stuck with it.
Exactly.
But I was looking at the pictures on your website, and I will say they were the shots that you have there, the exterior patterns you have are they're sophisticated, but I look at those and go, oh, I haven't seen that before, because I think the folks who are designing the hunt coats right now, they're at the opposite end of the scale of the helmet folks right now. The helmet guys are just going nuts, creating all kinds of crazy things we can put on our heads. But the hunt coat folks are just, I mean, snoozeville. And when I look at those pictures, they're vibrant and sophisticated, but I don't look at those and go, ooh, maybe you shouldn't wear those in the hunter ring. They're sophisticated. Now, you open the jacket up and look at the inside, and that's when your eyeballs pop out, which is really kind of fun.
Right.
But tell me, do you have a thought process you go through when you're choosing your the patterns you're going to use for that given season? Do you look at what's hot in the fashion world as a whole when you choose those? How do you do that? Do you choose what looks good on a horse?
Well, actually, I probably my experience is in the fashion world, so a lot of that comes in because I'm always conscious of what's going on, what the current trend is, I guess. But the coats aren't trendy coats, and they're not inexpensive coats, so they have to be something that is also classic, that somebody can invest in and wear, you know, for years and not have it not feel like it's going out of, it's going to be out of style, you know, the next year, like some, you know, fashion is. If you buy something that's trendy, the chances that you're going to be wearing it the next year are slim. But I
we would not expect it to be affordable, you know, and inexpensive, because it is involved with the hunter world, and the hunter world seems to be almost the priciest place. But what I like about what you're saying is that you can wear these over and over again. I remember I grew up riding hunters, and I mean, we would spend, you know, so much money on getting a hunt coat and an outfit.
Yes.
And then the next year, you know, you weren't wearing tan breeches. Everybody was wearing olive colored breeches and dark green coats, and my blue and tan wasn't going to work this next year because it wasn't the trendy new color. And that's definitely part of it. So I'm glad to see you're trying to make things, while not, you know, inexpensive, their quality, and they're something that they can wear the next year and the next year and then hopefully the next year after that. With the changing trends in the hunter world, it's hard to keep up.
It is, and it is inexpensive. That division definitely is the most expensive and the most restrictive. You know, the jumpers, they can get away with just about with a lot more as far as color. And I think that when they're the nice thing about the coats is that it's more that the rider knows what's inside the coat, because it when they jump, you know, their flaps come up and you can see the lining that's inside, if it's leopard or if it's a paisley, but it doesn't affect the judges if they see some, because they're not going to see a lot of bright color. But when the rider puts the coat on, I think it just makes a difference when they know what's the coat just feels better.
That famous saying that, you know, if you like what you're wearing, it even if somebody else doesn't see it, it makes a change in your demeanor.
It radiates. Yeah. Through, yeah, I agree. And I think that I have one client that says the coat brings her good luck, and I think it's, she doesn't realize, of course, that it's just because it feels really good on her, and the fabric, the wools are a stretch, and so that it makes it also functional for mm-hmm. what they're doing, because they need to be able to jump and move their arms, and it's not, it doesn't just look good, it also functions well.
Okay,
and
so
fits well.
One last request, because you mentioned that you fox hunt now, and I don't fox hunt much anymore, but I get out when I can.
Me too.
If you wouldn't mind, for the next KOP, because right now everybody's showing what is going to be available to the public in the summer. In August, when we all go back again, everybody's going to be talking about what's available for the winter. So for the August 2011 show, if you wouldn't mind trying to come up with a fox hunting formal season appropriate jacket that's actually warm, boy, I would love you for that.
Okay,
you know, there's
got
to
be
some high-tech something somewhere.
I know, you know, I've had people ask me that, because in the hunt club that I belong to do some hunt coats for hunting, and they definitely need that area certainly needs to be updated. I agree.
Yeah,
and
it's
it
okay.
has
well,
to
no,
be and more updated.
Yeah,
I
more,
used to remember
yeah.
Jennifer coming back from the hunt in Massachusetts, and that was one thing she would be complaining about, because they're hunting up there. It's got pretty chilly, and you know, she'd come back complaining that the clothing just wasn't right for hunting. It just wasn't right.
And do they
we
wear
can
the
do better
vests?
Than wool. We really can.
Yeah, and do they have to wear the canary vests? And
they actually, Myopia Hunt Club is very, very user friendly as far as its dress code is concerned. If you don't have your colors yet, you don't have to wear your canary vest. And we could get away with like a black turtle fur scarf and things like that. They were very, very kind. But just the jacket, you have to wear the jacket. There's no option. If somebody
right.
could come up with something that's more than just a plain wool jacket.
I know.
We can do
I
better.
Know. And we need a waterproof one here.
Oh, gosh,
Seattle.
Yeah,
sure, you do.
We do. Because we come back wet sometimes, so I'll work on that. I promise.
We would love you for it.
Okay,
well, Sarah,
thank you.
We are also going to be doing an interview with you live in person, and we actually can see the merchandise this weekend for the Tack and Habit show that we do here on the Horse Radio Network, so that'll be aired at a later time. And we're looking forward to meeting you in person. We are going to be, for anybody, any retailers listening to Horses in the Morning, or any wholesalers, we're going to be at booth 308, so definitely stop and look us up. We're right inside the front door, I believe. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. That's O'Shaughnessy Apparel. We'll actually put a link to that in our show notes in case you can't spell it. And so you can go check out our clothing line. That'll be in our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. And we'll see you this weekend.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay,
so
that'll
happen this weekend, and we'll be back on Monday to bring you all of our good stuff. I'm going to have three horse crazy, clothing tack crazy girls with me this weekend. So I'm sure on Monday morning show, you're going to hear all about the cool new stuff coming out. I guarantee you that. Well, today's song is brought to you by Pocket Stable. If you haven't gotten Pocket Stable yet, you need to do it. Go to your iPhone, go to the App Store, look up Pocket Stable. It's the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, from vaccines to worming to farrier to dentist visits, together and easily accessible right on your iPhone. You can track weight and get reminders of all the important dates coming up. Visit PocketStable.com. It's only $3.99, less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Well, today's song we have for you is from a new artist that we're going to be starting to highlight. Her name is Trish Lynn. And on Friday, we recorded a special musical episode of Horses in the Morning that we'll play this coming Friday on the 28th. We'll have a special recorded episode with Trish Lynn. And I did that. Janie was a little under the weather on Friday, and her voice wasn't working. So I had Tammy Sarant, the host of the Western Radio Show, join me for that, and you'll hear us on Friday. She just happens to live in the same town as Trish and knows her very well. So it was a fun show. You can look forward to that on Friday. But I want to give you a little sample of Trish. She's a rodeo girl, has the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. They perform at rodeos all across the country. And, you know, it's Monday, and I don't think everybody's just not quite awake enough yet. We're going to fix that with It's Time to Ride by Trish Lynn.
No Broadway show. Hold on and don't let go. It's time to ride. This ain't no screw-up game. Need courage to take the pain. 8 seconds to make your name. It's time to ride. Show 'em what you're made of. Show 'em what you got inside. Got inside. What are you afraid of?
What you got inside? Got
check out her music at trishlynn.com. And again, she's going to be on the show with Glenn this coming Friday. They recorded it last week when I was sick. I pretty much think that they wanted to schedule it so just Glenn could, you know, flirt with her a little bit and not have me. Oh, wait, no, there was another girl, and Tammy was on it too. So there you go. They will be
there. I'm not
there,
saying that didn't stop me, Jamie.
She is a cutie. Of course, you're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Omega Alpha. And we do have a guest coming up, Daniel Stewart, stewartclinics.com. And this guy will completely school you as far as, you know, riding and fear and breaking you down and mentally building you back up. We've had a lot of people that have audited and ridden in the clinics that said that it really changed their riding. So we're going to talk to him, to Daniel, a little bit today about the fear factor involved with riding. I'm not talking Joe Rogan eating spiders or anything. I'm talking about the fear of actually getting on your horse. And we do have a listener that wrote in about it. So we're going to talk to him about that. If you have any questions, please feel free to give us a call. Daniel is very easy to talk to, 347-637-3238. And if you have any questions for Daniel.
That's great, and I think that Daniel's ready. So let's just bring Daniel Stewart on right now.
Hi, everybody. How are you? It's nice to hear from you again.
Hey, Daniel. How's it going? Are you in sunny Florida right now?
I am in sunny Florida, and I'm never leaving sunny Florida. I was in someplace cold and wintering last weekend. I'm never leaving Florida again.
Okay, Daniel, we hate you, and that's it for Daniel's segment. We'll be talking to him again next month.
If I could see you, if I could show you what it looks like from outside my window, I don't think you'd be very happy either. My palm trees are looking a little dry. I need to go and water them. I'll put on my flip-flops and go water my palm trees. Sorry.
Hey, you know what? Daniel, I'm in Phoenix, and my palm trees need some water too, buddy. So.
Hey.
That's you can
great.
Come on out here anytime. I do have to give you a little bit of a message, Daniel. One of my best friends in the whole wide world, her name is Colleen, and she works for the Oaks. And she told me to tell you that you're coming to do a clinic in March, and she has really been working hard on her googly eyes. And
on
she's
her
improving.
Googly eyes.
What does that mean?
Did she tell you what Google Eye means? That's so
no.
funny. She's great.
Show me.
All right. It's interesting. When jumpers jump, oftentimes we'll see a little bit of a roundness in their back. And a lot of riders misinterpret that as they jump with a round back. The reason that a lot of jumpers have a rounded back is because their hips are pointing down. So they take their hip bones and they point them down. And when you do that, it gives you the impression that your back is rounded. So to take the hip bones of a jumper and to encourage the hip bones to sort of face backwards as they were jumping instead of down towards the saddle, to get the hip bones to face backwards, I encourage riders to imagine that they have, you know, those little plastic googly eyes, you know, that you kind of shake them. Imagine you have one googly eye on each back pocket. And as you jump, you look behind you with those googly eyes. And that gets the rider's hips to look up and back rather than down towards the saddle, and it flattens their back out. So I just the technique called Google it. I just like Google it, Google it, Google it. Just imagine though those eyes on your hips are looking back rather than down. And it follows the same principle when riding. Keep your eyes up, you know, instead of looking down. So even the Google eyes on your back pockets are supposed to be looking up rather than down. So oh, Colleen's great. They run a wonderful facility up there in Lake City. They really do.
And here I thought, Dan, it was because you were hot.
Googly eyes. Wow, check out her hips. Look at those hips. Just put your Google eyes on those hips. It's funny, and I do that. I do a video analysis clinic, and I'd be like, and I'll videotape a rider, and I'll freeze it. I'm like, those are amazing hips. Everybody, look at her hips. And what I'm trying to say is they're supple and they move with their horse and they're symmetrical, but everybody always misinterprets that as, wow, check out her hips.
Dan, I got to tell you, you're a good-looking guy. I've heard from many women that they wouldn't mind you checking out their hips, so it works for them.
I check out a lot. My wife loves it. I check out about 30 women's hips a week, And I check them, I check them out, and then I do it in slow motion, and then I rewind it, and I check out their hips frame by frame. My wife loves my job.
Bless her heart.
That's why I never invite her along to come to my clinics. Good Lord, she would be shocked.
I thought I had the best job in the world. You've got the best job in
the
world.
Nope. You're mistaken, Glenda. That would be me. Yeah.
You guys are ridiculous.
Well, it's fun to talk with you again.
Do you mind taking a call?
I'd love to take a call. Yeah, I think that would be great. Please let me take a call.
All right. We have on the line Kim Dobbins from Atlanta. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Hi, Jamie. I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. Good to hear you again. She's called us before, and you are in my hometown of Atlanta, and I do believe we rode together before.
Yes.
So what is your question for Daniel?
My question is, I still have a bit of a fear factor, and my wonderful horse senses this and will start trotting, and then he stops. And he won't continue because he knows I'm nervous. And I don't know what to do at this point. Somebody else can get on him that's ridden forever, and he just will go. So I think it's me. I know it's me. So I need some help.
Well, if I may, I think I might have some good advice for you. And off the bat, I think I probably agree with you. I bet it's you too.
I know it's me. He's a good horse.
You know why I think it's you? It's because you said you have a wonderful horse. You know, and you know, it's interesting. We all start riding for the same reason, and that's because we have a wonderful horse, because we love this big fat furry butthead that makes us crazy, but makes us crazy with love and passion at the same time. The amount of time we get squished into corners and stepped on and still can love our wonderful horses is phenomenal. So I imagine that it might more or less come down to you rather than your wonderful horse, because again, he appears to go forward with other riders. I've always said a few things. I've always said that what's going through our mind is going through our body. So if what's going through your mind is you know, doubtful or hesitant or nervous, then I'm pretty sure that, you know, what's going through your mind goes through your body, and then we know how great of, you know, mind body readers our horses are. I've also said forever that our emotions control our motions. So if we ride with negative emotions, oftentimes we start to develop some pretty negative ways of moving, some negative motions. Now, this could be considered pretty great news, because if we can change your emotions from negative, you know, having that negative, you know, motion or causing negative emotions, if we can change our emotions to positive, I really believe that we can change our motions to positive. Can I give you a couple of tricks to try the next time you're riding?
Yeah.
All right. I think you're going to like these. These aren't the kind of tricks where you have to go home and study and take notes and that sort of thing. There's just a couple of really, really neat little tricks. The first one is this. All right. I think a lot of us have heard of a technique called detachment. That's where when you get nervous, you pretend you're someplace else. You go to your happy place. I think that's all right. But to me, that borders a little bit on avoidance. I feel nervous here, so I'm going to pretend I'm somewhere else. So I'm going to say detachment can work for a lot of athletes, but I think in your situation it might not be great. However, there's a second form of detachment, which is not nearly as well known, however, in my opinion, much stronger. It's called memory motivation. So, and it just works like this, Kim. The next time you're feeling nervous, take a deep breath, and instead of detaching and going to another location, remember a memory from your past. So it's like detachment, but you don't pretend you're in another location. You put yourself back, you detach and go to a memory in your past. And the memory is so amazing, so powerful, that it reminds you of why you love doing this in the first place. I lived in Andalusia, Spain for many years, and I used to take our horses horse surfing. We would go out in the ocean and play with the horses in the water. And I remember if you take a big fat Andalusian far enough out into the ocean, you can actually turn him around and surf that sucker in. It's the coolest thing in the world, right? It's called horse surfing. And
wow.
And I had this one horse, and she loved horse surfing. She'd catch four or five waves. Then she'd go to knee-deep water and start rolling, you know, and I'm like, but I'm still on your back, you know. But that memory to me is so powerful that even if I've been on, you know, flights for 36 hours across 9 time zones and been in 10 cities in 11 different days and I'm tired, I'll use that memory to motivate me. I'll use that memory to pump me up. So it's called memory motivation. So the first tool that I'd really recommend that you consider, Kim, is memory motivation. Instead of, focusing on the negative, the nerves and that sort of thing, focus on the positive. Come up with a memory from your past, an amazing, massively great memory with your wonderful horse. The next time you're nervous, squeeze out that negative thought, push the negative thought out of your mind, and squeeze in that positive memory motivation. It's called memory motivation because you use the memory from your past to motivate you, you know, in the present. So I do believe this. As riders, we have amazing memories. You never see a tennis rack or a tennis player yell at its racket or hug its racket, you know, and you never see a skier scream at his ski because it spooked at snow, you know.
Right. Right.
As riders, we have amazing memories, and you know what? Oftentimes we forget them. You know, we focus on the nervousness, the tension, the doubt. And the first trick is this: when you feel those negative emotions, remember why you love doing this, and to help you to really solidify that, I want you to come up with a memory. Today, think about it. What is the coolest, most wonderful thing I've ever done on my horse? And then relive that memory. Relive, like, smell what you smelled back then. If it was funny, if it was sunny, feel the sun on your shoulders. Regain every emotion associated with that memory. And then use that to motivate yourself in the future. So I think this is one I'd really like you to consider. It's super easy, and it's very positive because it focuses on the positive things you've done in the past with your horse and how you can use those emotions to create more positive things on your horse in the future. So memory motivation is one. And this next one is really fun. And I'm just going to give you two. I don't want to bog you down with a bunch, but I'll give you one more.
Okay.
Most times, and I'm sure you've heard of the term, be careful what you wish for, you might just get it. And then we've also heard of, you know, positive affirmation sentences. Those two things work hand in hand. Even if I'm a little bit nervous and I'm not feeling very good, if I repeat the words to myself, the positive affirmation words, I feel good, I feel good, I feel good. If I repeat those words to myself, over time, I might start to feel better because be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. If I repeat to myself, I'm so nervous. I wish I'd stop being nervous. How come I'm so nervous? If I repeat those words to myself, I end up sort of focusing on the fact that I'm nervous. However, if I change it around to the positive affirmation sentence and say something like, I feel good, I feel good, I feel good, then be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. Now, I like positive affirmation sentences. However, I believe there's a better way of repeating them. And I think this is just great. To you and your listeners and Kim and everybody else, which feels stronger to you? If I repeat these words to myself, I feel good, I feel good, I feel good. Or if I repeat them in this way, I feel good. No, 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 no.
I definitely like the second one.
here's the trick, Kim. Sing songs when you're riding. Songs can be the most powerful positive affirmation sentences. So your second piece of homework, in addition to coming up with a great positive mental memory motivation, come up with your song. Like my wife and I, we have our song. We love each other. We care for each other. We want to share something just between the two of us. I really do believe that as riders, we care for our horses to the same degree. 90% of my female students care for their horses more than their husbands. You know?
Right.
We love our
horses.
No.
Well, you're a newlywed, Jamie, so.
Yeah, oh, fair enough. Well, I guess
no comment.
If we care for our horses this much, shouldn't we have, I guess, let's get a song for our horse. So now, I feel good. I think that's a really neat song. It helps you to feel humor. It helps you to breathe. It helps you to tie into rhythm and harmony and that sort of thing. But it also made you giggle a little bit, and that's the point of this, is to tap into the positive emotion that is sitting sort of latent right now because the negative emotions are squishing it down. So when it comes to your song, this is what I really encourage you to do. Think about the lyrics in the song. I feel good delivers a very powerful, message. Let me give you a couple other examples. I think I work a lot with cross country riders, and one of our cross country riders has an amazing song. Their song is this: "Ain't nothing gonna break my stride, nothing's gonna slow me down. No, no, I gotta keep on moving."
Yeah.
So you know what? Even if they're jumping and they knock a fence over, they've seen themselves. Ain't nothing gonna slow me down. Nothing's gonna break my stride. I love that song because it's got the stride in there. It ties in with our horse. One rider, she says, "But I don't even compete, you know, so therefore I don't really need the song affirmations." And I'm like, well, what do you do? And she says, "I trail ride, I hack." You know what her song is? "I'm sitting on the top of my bay." Not on the dock of the bay, but on the top of my bay. One rider was, she gets nervous at the canter. She had a fall. She's getting back. She's nervous at the canter. Her song is, "Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make this canter last." I think that's great. That's awesome. I really believe that music is powerful, you know, and that we've all woken up in a bad mood, listened to our favorite song, and gotten into a good mood. Music can get inside. Music can create emotions in us, and those emotions are often, you know, energetic and positive emotions. So if the emotions that you're feeling while riding are not energetic and positive, maybe a positive memory motivation from your past and a positive song in the present can set yourself, you know, up for that success. Now, I did something here. I pulled something up this morning because I was talking to somebody about this very thing. I believe songs should be age-specific, you know. So depending on your age, in all honesty, some riders have never heard that song, you know, "Ain't Nothing Gonna Break My Stride, Nothing's Gonna Slow Me Down." I work with a lot of young riders. Hannah Montana has a song called "The Climb," and I'm looking at the song lyrics right now. It's just... it's a beautiful song. It's got great rhythm, but the message is unbelievable. And the lyrics say things like this: "Got to keep my head held high. There's always going to be another mountain. I'm always going to want to make it move. It's always going to be an uphill battle." That sort of thing. "I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming." And I think your dream is to rekindle the feelings of confidence and enjoyment on your horse.
Right.
You know,
Sing it, Daniel. Sing it. We got to feel it. Come on.
You got to feel it. Oh, you got and I like this. This is
let's
the one.
Let's help you out a little bit.
"The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes it might knock me down, but I'm not breaking."
Yeah.
You know what? I think that's awesome. I think it's powerful. We can say to ourselves, "Do not be nervous, do not be nervous, do not be nervous." Or we can sing a song that says, "The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking." You know, I just think, so anyways, I get so passionate about this because I really do believe in this. This is what I'd love you to do, Kim. Think of your amazing, wonderful memories from the past. Plug them into the present when the emotions you're feeling aren't wonderful and amazing. And I want you to come up with a song for you and your horse. If the song is "I Feel Good," change the lyrics to "We Feel Good." Make sure that you include your horse and yourself in your song. But I really believe that if you can change, you know, any sort of negative thoughts, you know, about how you are feeling, "I'm currently nervous, why am I doing this again," and that sort of thing, if you can change that into a positive by using these tools, because I could say, don't think negative, think positive. That's all fine. But here are two really neat tools for you to do that. Think of memory motivation and think of a really great song. Come up with a song for you and your horse. So
that is awesome.
I think those would be wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. And I hope to attend the clinic in March at the Oaks.
Oh, up in the Oaks. That would be great.
Yeah.
I hope to attend it too.
Yes.
You can't start without me. I've taught there two or three times this year, and the O'Connors and everybody up there, they just put on a great facility. They put together a great facility. I sure enjoy it. So I hope to see you there as well. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Colleen told me about it, so I'm excited. But thank you very much. And
you're
Jamie
welcome.
And Glenn, you are awesome, and great show.
All right, Kim, hey, good luck. If you have any questions, just send me an email on Facebook, because I have actually taken notes of everything he said, even though he said you don't have to take notes. What goes through our mind goes through our body. Remember that our emotions control our motions. You want to detach and go to happy memory, repeat positive affirmations, and find your song, woman. Do it. You can
and
do it. I'm proud of you, Kim.
And here is the song you've been
talking about. Yeah. No, I'm not crazy. I may not know it, but because of love.
There's the Miley Cyrus song you were talking about.
Boy, and you, Glenn, you queued that up perfectly. You queued it up perfectly. You know, where you put it is, we may not know it, but these are the moments that we're really in. These are the moments that we do what we do. You queued that up perfect.
Well, good.
Yeah, it was really good. Oh my gosh, Daniel, please come to Phoenix and do a clinic, or just, you know, I'm looking at your tour schedule, and you're not on the West Coast at all. So how do we need to make? Oh, you're going to Montana one time in Alaska, but that's a little far.
Yeah, what's Alaska?
Yeah, I'm going to Alaska for a 2-week clinic tour. I think I'm doing 2 days in Alaska, 2 days in Fairbanks, 2 days in Homer and one other place, but you know, this is it's very early in my season right now. I'm talking with 3 groups from Scottsdale. I've taught the ASU equestrian team for a couple of years, so I heard from them again yesterday, and also the United States Eventing Association. Their area is looking to bring me out as well. So I believe I'll be in Scottsdale 3 times this year.
Awesome. But just make sure I get to ride with you, even though I'm not an ASU student. I can pretend to be one. Yeah, sure, I go to college.
Let's all pretend to be younger than we are. That's just great. Yeah. Let's all buy a Corvette. And Glenn, you and I, we need to, like, undo a couple of buttons, get big chains, and drive a Corvette. That's really cool.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I could do that with our cowboy hats on sideways.
Oh man, would we? We would look just great. We would look really young and hip and cool, I'm sure.
See, now you kind of disappointed me there, though, from the guy side here. You know, just picking up for all of us horse husbands out there. You know, when you were talking about what your song was, I really expected it to have hips in it, but it didn't.
The hippie shake. Mike's current song is the Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling Today's Going to Be a Good Day. I think that's pretty neat. You know, you arrive late to the horse show, you're rushed, you forget your helmet, you got to go get it. The horse is, you know, not cooperating, and you're singing to yourself, today's going to be a good day. You know what? Be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. That's what this all comes down to. You know, all comes down to that self-fulfilling prophecy. Focus on the positive. Create the positive. Positive emotions helping us to tap into our positive emotions. So I believe in that.
And that's what's great about your clinics, Daniel, is that and your kind of whole philosophy is you can take somebody like Kim who has a fear of trotting, and you can take somebody like, you know, and like me, who has a fear of doing a coughing complex or, you know, whatever we have fears of, you know, like, I am sorry, I really don't like jumping jumps with ditches underneath them. I really don't. But what you have
somebody
told me
that
here.
Thing in.
I know. What's
I
the point of
that? I could fall
into
that. What's the? Yeah, I could trip and fall in there. Fill that in. Then I'll jump it.
Exactly. And so, but what you told Kim with the same fear, you know, fear is a blanket emotion, and it covers everything from fear of trotting to fear of jumping through a coffin. And it just, what you have told her, I'm going to totally take and use for me, if that's okay with you. And do you have any other advice for people that have fear?
You know, I'm gonna do this. And fears, when you think about it, fears, nervousness, tension, show jitters, anxiety, they're all caused by. And it is true, they're all caused by the same factor, and that factor is just the perception that we are no longer in complete control. You know, so for you jumping in a coffin, you don't feel like you can control yourself through that coffin, you know, so therefore the emotions you start to feel are hesitant, doubtful, and lacking of self-confidence. So it starts with the fear, or the perception of fear has this trickle-down effect, and then it brings brings other negative emotions into play, like hesitation, doubt, and lack of self-belief, for example. So it starts with fear, but then it sprouts roots, and it grows in these other different negative directions. And I guess what I'm trying to say is the root of this is the perception that we're out of control. You know, for example, if you're riding and it's a beautiful day, you love it, you're in a great mood, you feel in great control, but then a Harley Davidson goes flying by, the reins snap off in your hands, and your horse takes off straight towards a massive cactus. You know, you're going to get nervous now.
You've ridden with me, haven't you?
I know that cactus. But see, what happens here is we're nervous now because the noise, the breakage of tag, and the movement towards pain creates a perception that we've lost control. So when the reins were fine, when there was no Harley Davidson, when there was no galloping towards a cactus, we felt in control. We could therefore control our emotions. However, when we have the perception that we're out of control, that's when our emotions start to control us. And I've always said that sports psychology is just about, you know, using tools like the song or the memory motivation so that we can control our emotions so that they can't control. The emotions can't control us. So I just, you know, the idea is to identify, you know, what we can control. You know, well, I tell you what, instead of focusing on the ditch, let's focus on the quality of canter as we approach the ditch, knowing that if we develop an amazing quality of canter, the jump, the question will take care of itself, that sort of thing. So, you know, instead of focusing on the negative, you know, ditch or on the negative canter or the negative fall. You know, and this is an interesting comment. Many riders currently use sports psychology and memory motivation. For example, they fell a month ago and they're still nervous. They can't get beyond the fall. They had a mild sprain of their back, for example. They are using memory motivation, but the memory they're focusing on is a negative memory from their past, and that has a negative impact on their performance in the present. So they're using the memory motivation, but the negative one. What they need to do to get rid of the negative memory, come up with a positive one. Every time they think about that fall, immediately change and put the positive memory in their mind. So I guess what I'm saying, instead of focusing on the stressor, what causes us to be negative, focus on the things that you can control, like the quality of canter towards the ditch, the distance at the ditch, and your Google eyes over the ditch. There we go. If you focus on those three things, you don't have time to think about falling down into the ditch.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Hey, we've got another caller on the line for you. And by the way, I'm still writing all of this down. I think this is fantastic.
Oh, good. Just buy my book. Yeah, just get the book.
We've got Regina on the line. And, of course, we're talking to Daniel Stewart, who is a sports psychologist and, you know, amazing clinician. Regina, what is your question for Daniel?
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's nice to talk to you.
You too. I am just getting ready to purchase a new horse. I haven't owned in the past 2 years, but the horse I had owned before, he had a problem with confidence with jumping. That kind of made me lose confidence as well. Now I'm getting this new horse. You know, I won't know him very well to start out with, and I'm just nervous that me not having confidence will make him like my old horse, and I don't want that to happen. And any advice you give me to help me out would be great.
Oh, that would be, you know, and I love that you're doing this beforehand. You know, in the fact that you're identifying perhaps who you are, and, you know, we need to understand none of us are perfect. I've always said that we ride in the pursuit of excellence, not in the pursuit of perfection. And so many riders believe, you know, but they need to be perfect for their horse and that sort of thing. The fact that you've identified that you're not perfect, you may be an excellent rider, but you're not perfect. You have nerves and you would love to overcome those nerves so that it doesn't affect the potential, you know, with your new horse. I think that's great. So good for you for identifying before the fact, you know, what you're going to be working on. And, you know, it's funny, when I work with a lot of young riders, with youngsters, for me, it's sports psychology is preventative medicine. If we can teach young riders and, you know, and people like you, before we get nervous, before we get tense, if we can teach, you know, ourselves to be positive and energetic and focused, you know, then we can move forward. with a lot of with a lot of us adult riders, we're already nervous, we're already tense, and as a result, it turns into more like corrective medicine. So, you know, with youngsters, it tends to be preventative medicine, you know, and then with oldsters, it's all corrective medicine. What you and I can do right now is preventative medicine. You've got this new horse coming, you know, up the pipeline, and if you can figure out one or two tools that you can do to, you know, sort of take that nervousness or the perception of nervousness and put it to the side, then I think that you can correct it before you get on him. Did you hear the earlier show about the songs and the memory motivation? Were you able to hear that?
I actually wasn't able to because I was at work, but...
Okay. I'm going to briefly summarize what I told another rider, and then I'm going to give you one or two new tools to work on your own.
And Dan,
the first one we
Dan,
talked to... Yeah?
Dan, I just wanted to say, too, that anybody can go back immediately after the show's done today. We have this in recorded version, so she can go back and take a listen to what you said there. On the recorded version as well.
Excellent. Great. And you know, I imagine, Glenn, that you'd agree that what we talked about with Kim would you know, benefit all of the riders. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Do go back and listen to the earlier portion of the radio show. But to just summarize in 10 seconds, I encourage the rider from before to think of positive memories from her past, you know, positive, motivational, energetic, confident memories. And then when you sit on this new horse, think of those. Oftentimes, what's going through your mind goes through your body. So if you're thinking of positive, confident memories from your past, oftentimes the positive, confident emotions go into your body, and the horse feels that. The second thing I told the previous rider to do was to come up with a song, sing a motivating song, you know, like, I feel good, na 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 na. You know, like literally kind of rock it out. Get on your horse and just rock it, you know. The song that I sing is, today is going to be a good, good day. So if I'm on a new horse and I'm making an effort to avoid having my negative energy affect him, I'm going to sit on that horse. I'm going to think of positive memories and sing positive songs, because if they create those positive emotions, then my body feels those positive emotions. Whereas if I sit on the horse and go, I hope I'm not nervous today, I hope he doesn't feel my nervousness, oh, good Lord, don't let me get nervous, I can feel it coming, stop being nervous. If we focus on the negative emotion, it creates that potential for negative emotions in your body. So I want you to do that. I want you to think of a great memory from your past. I want you to come up with your song for your horse. And listen to the radio show, because we talked about some pretty neat songs. Here's a couple other things that I'd like you to really think about, okay? And I think these are going to be really specific for you. We talk a lot about, I call it brain babble, you know, or your self-talk, or the words you say to yourself. I want you to listen to the words that you say to yourself. One of the most understood rules of positive thinking is to avoid negative words like can't and hate and those sort of things. But here's a great example. I spoke to a rider recently, and she said when she gets upset, when she gets nervous, she goes, why do you keep doing this? And that's what she says to herself. She says it, and sometimes she goes, I get so frustrated, I even say it out loud. Why do you keep doing this? What's that?
I said I do that too.
Okay, I think you might, just by the sounds of it. So this is the coolest thing. Listen carefully. So she says this. She goes, why do you keep doing this? Or why do I keep doing this? The interesting thing here is the inflection on that sentence is on the word this. Why do you keep doing this? Meaning, why do you keep getting nervous? Why do you keep getting tense? Why do you keep doing this? The inflection is on the last word, this. What I've encouraged her to do is just to simply change the inflection to the word I, and it goes from why do I keep doing this to why do I keep doing this, meaning why do I keep riding? So she goes, why do I keep doing this? She then changes it to why do I keep doing this? Oh, I keep doing this because I love it. I keep doing this because my horse is wonderful. I keep doing this because I love being athletic and outdoors. I keep doing this because of my love for the horse. So she's asking a question, but she's simply asking it in a negative way. Why do I keep doing this? And then what she's doing now is she's learning to change the inflection in the sentence to, why do I keep doing this? Well, I keep doing this because I love my horse. So her initial sentence of why do I keep doing this changed to, why do I keep doing this? And now after working on it, she's to this point, why I keep doing this. Why I keep doing this is because of my love of the horse. So, yes, I get nervous. Yes, I get tense. But why I really keep doing this is because of the love of the horse. So what I'm saying is listen to the words you say to yourself, perhaps just simply by changing the inflection. Because if I write this sentence down, why do I keep doing this? It could be either very positive or very negative. That rider just is using that sentence in a negative way. Listen to the words you say to yourself. And see if you can change them into a positive. So I think self-talk is really important. I think we talked a lot about be careful what you wish for, you might just get it. If we say to ourselves, you know, why am I so nervous? I hate being nervous. I think if we say those words to ourselves, we develop the potential for feeling that nervousness. So that's the first thing. I want you to think about the words you say to yourself and change them to positive if need be. The second thing that I'd really recommend that you consider doing, and it's a really neat technique, it's called tough acting. And I think this is going to be really important for you. Tough acting is a weird technique because even though, you know, it benefits all athletes from equestrians to swimmers, for example, it's an amazingly powerful technique, but it wasn't designed for athletes. It was designed for Hollywood. For example, Julie Roberts is a very great, tough actress because she can think really sad thoughts and cry for the camera. I mean, I think we all agree that makes for a pretty amazing actress. It's called tough acting because what you end up doing is you put thoughts in your mind, and those thoughts are so powerful that they change how your body, you know, how your body moves, for example. So, for example, Julie Roberts thinks really negative, sad thoughts, and she cries. Her emotions change her motions, you know. For riders, what we encourage riders to do is to also do tough acting, to put positive thoughts in your mind and allow that to change your body. So it's called tough acting, but I believe it should be renamed fake it till you make it. Okay? Because, okay, honestly, is Julia Roberts really sad?
I've done that my whole life, Daniel.
I'm not even going there. I'm not going to even touch that. But I guess what we're saying is Julia Roberts isn't really sad behind the camera. She's faking it. She's a faker. She's faking sadness. She puts in a sad thought. She puts little furrows on her forehead. She drops her shoulders. She thinks sad thoughts, and as a result, she becomes sad. Her emotions start to control her motions. As riders, we do the same thing. We do the tough acting, but we don't put the sad negative thoughts or, you know, perhaps, as you mentioned earlier, the nervous, doubtful thoughts. We don't put those thoughts in our mind because those can create that nervous, doubtful way of riding. In our mind, we put energetic, confident, self-belief thoughts, knowing that if what's going through my mind is, I can do this, I believe in myself, this is amazing, I'm ready, I'm energized, I'm confident, I can do this. We have to understand, if those are the thoughts going through our mind, those are the feelings that are going through our body as well. So that's called tough acting, and it's a bit of an interesting technique, and it's very simple. Just even if you're not feeling confident, even if you believe you're going to be nervous, just fake it. Just fake confidence. I remember this one rider. He's walking around, and he's like, hey, you look great, fantastic, estupendo, pa-pa-pow. You know, he's like all weird and cheesy, and I'm like, oh, that's so creepy. Don't ever do that again. And he's like, when I get really nervous, I start complimenting my opponents. I start walking out telling everybody they look great, wonderful. He goes, when I start doing that, I start to pluck up my feathers. I feel better. He goes, even if I'm nervous, if I walk around for a couple of minutes thinking confidently, complimenting my competitors, he goes, I start to feel better. He's just acting tough. He's faking it, but he's making it as well. So we can say, I wish I was confident. I wish I could stop being nervous. Or we can, from our past, recreate a wonderful, powerful memory motivation. We can come up with a great song. We talked about the song The Climb by Miley Cyrus. You know, the words are, you know, saying that, you know, it's a mountain in front of me, but if I keep working hard, I can climb that mountain, I can get to the top. If we can come up with a memory motivation, come up with a song, if we can listen to the self-talk that we do and change it to a positive, and if we can fake confidence whenever we need it, then perhaps we can start to make that confidence. So those are four tools that I'd really suggest you consider. Think of a memory from your past. Come up with a great, positive, motivating song. Turn all self-talk from negative, if it is negative, into a bit of a positive. And then the last, you know, do the Glenn, do the fake fake it till you make it. Just sit up there. I'm confident. I do this. I love this. I'm ready. I'm prepared. Just tap into the positive in your mind, knowing that whatever's going on between your ears is going to drift down below those ears into your body. So I hope some of those will work.
Regina.
For you.
Thank you.
Hey, Regina. Yeah, I mean, he's full of such amazing information, but if you want to check him out on tour, you can go to stuartclinics.com. I think you're in New Jersey, and I know he has some coming up in New England, so maybe something will be close to you, and you can check it out at stuartclinics.com. Also, Daniel, what is the name of your book?
Oh, it's Ride Right. It's Ride Right. So everything we talked about today is in the book. So, yeah, that will be great. Pick it up. And I think I mentioned earlier,
yeah.
I'm now writing the second book, Ride. I think it might be Ride Right 2. Ride Right Part 2. I don't know.
Ride Right Again. Keep riding right.
Ride Right Again. Ride Right 2. But, and I know that I am teaching in Philadelphia 3 or 4 times this spring. So, Regina, perhaps we'll have a chance to meet each other one day. I'd sure enjoy teaching
silly.
Bring your new horse, Regina. He'd love to school you a little bit more. But, hey, Daniel, unfortunately, our show is actually over. We have been taking so many notes and writing down so many things, I totally lost track of time. We have got, of course, we'll have you on, you know, all the time, and we're going to book you a little bit earlier because we still have people that wanted to talk to you on the line. So would you be willing to come back on again with us next month and take some more calls?
Oh, I'd love to. I think that would be super fun. I'd love to. My pleasure.
All right. That'd be fantastic. And I will see you in Phoenix some point this year.
That sounds great. It was nice talking to you guys. You take care enjoy the new year.
Hey, Daniel, I got.
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel, here's a little something to make Daniel say.
Okay.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night.
Yeah.
Tonight's gonna be a good night.
Good night.
Is that the one?
That's the one. That's my song. That's my song.
Daniel, we would play more than
20
seconds of it,
you.
But they would sue us, so we can't.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's not go there. You guys have a great rest of the day. It was a wonderful
talk. Thank
you,
Daniel.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Daniel.
That was Daniel Stewart. And, I wanted to say, too, that Robert asked on Facebook, does no Facebook page for Daniel Stewart or Ride Right? And I'll have to take a look. I'm not sure there is. So we're going to have to get him on
Daniel,
the call with Newt Media.
Yeah, Daniel and I are friends on Facebook. He's on there.
Oh, is he on there? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, there
it's,
he is.
It's
yep,
Daniel
he's definitely
Stewart,
on there.
So he's
yep,
on there,
yep,
so check him out. You can search for him, become a friend of his. And, my gosh, you will totally be amazed. Every person that I've talked to, including, you know, Helena went and watched it, the guy is phenomenal. So if you can get his book, Ride Right, if you can go see him, go take your horse to go see him. It is stuartclinics.com.
All right. Thank you, everybody. This has been a fun show. We have to get the heck out of here. Remember, if you missed part of Daniel's talk today and his helping our callers, by the way, thank you for calling. We really appreciate it. You can go to horsesinthemorning.com, and we will, in about another hour, about noontime, we will have the show out and the recorded version. You can go back and take a listen to that. And we also appreciate Sarah stopping by to visit us today and all the callers. Thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, Jamie, as we'll be back with another fun show.
Goodbye.